Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Good afternoon, whenever that you are with us here from beautiful Decatur, Texas, on this crisp autumn morning in some places and cold in others, and well, just Texas everywhere else. Glad that you're with us today. My name is Dr. Eric Stansberry. I am your host and senior pastor for this online conclave fellowship called Restoration Bible Fellowship, hoping very, very soon to have a brick and mortar place so that people can come and worship and be fed. Glad that you're with us today. Today we're going to continue in our series of the superiority of Christ. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 3. And as we continue to move on through Hebrews, I'm hoping to change your worldview. I'm hoping to get you so fired up about how great Christ is and what he has for you, not only in this life, but in the one to come, that you just can't wait to go, as the old song says, go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody what the Lord can do. That's my prayer this morning. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. As many of you know, we love praying. And I need the practice, and so I'm sure some of you need the prayer. If you don't mind, you can email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com, and I will pray for you until you call me off and tell me to stop praying. We want to continue to remember Billy Parker as he recovers, and as he's getting, from my understanding, better and better and better. And just can't wait. I'll be seeing him very soon. Can't tell you too much just yet, but that's exciting news coming up very, very soon. Also, don't forget all the pastors. Don't forget Lee and Kim Ball. Lee and Kim had a miracle, and just believe that God's going to continue to show his miracle-working power to Kim and to Lee and give Bobby Parker strength. She deals with all of them because that could be crazy at times. Remember another friend of mine, Virginia Stanford. She has her cancer's come back, but I know that God is a healing God. And I know her husband, Don, who's both of them are great musicians and singers, and they're anointed, that God is going to just bless and heal and make her a testimony of what God can do. Remember all the pastors this morning. Remember Bishop Lee as he's traveling in California, preaching in churches there. Remember Zach Sloan, Shane Calhoun, Isaac Walker, Carol Allen, all those. Greg Causey, you know I'm going to forget somebody. Greg Causey, who's preaching down in the Caribbean area, Eric Satterfield, Carol Allen, Billy and Shirley Raines, Shane and, Sean and Michelle Brooks, Pastor Greg Pratt at South Mountain in Phoenix, Arizona, and then, of course, Brother Daniels, Brother Thomas, and the church here at Denton Church of God where we're currently attending, and a church that we visited, Cornerstone and Victory Family Church, that God will just pour out his anointing in both places, and for your church, wherever you're going this morning, that God will just reach out and send his power and his glory and his grace. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, power, your grace, and your glory. We thank you, God, that you're a healing God. And we bring before you, Virginia, we bring before you all of those who are watching either by live or they're watching the podcast later on YouTube who need prayer. That, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll reach out to them and touch them and bless them and heal them and bring them to a place in you to feel, to know that they know that they know the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that we'll hear miracles on this very broadcast, that I can share miracles with people live. And I pray, God, that you'll reach out and touch all of those who are watching and bless and get Eric out of the way and let the Holy Spirit take full control. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to do a song that was on my original solo album back many moons ago when I sang with Tennessee Harmony. Shout out to Gina and Eric Watson, Tom Caslow, Richie Works, who has played for Poet Voices. He's went on to bigger and better things. I was so grateful for my time with him. But this was a song that we did on that album, and it's called It's My Desire.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Though oft I failed Him and brought Him much shame, it's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see the way, I too was once so lost.
She used to say that if your head leaks, it won't swell none. Is that your desire this morning? Just to live for it. You say, well, Dr. Shansbury, you don't know where I've been, what I've done, what's happened in my life. You know what? I don't have to know. But if you're willing to come home today and say, Father, forgive me, I can tell you from absolute personal experience that He'll open up His arms and say, come here. Come here, son, and let me hold you, let me love you, and let me show you that I am still your Father. Praise God. Are you glad for that this morning? I know that you are. I hope that you are. And if not, you can be before this day is out. If you have a Bible there with you, go to Hebrews chapter number 3. As we're going to begin looking at the superiority of Christ as relates to Moses. Now, we've talked about Christ is the superior revelation. Christ is superior to the angels. And we're going to focus on the third part of what these former Jews would have dealt with, and that is the superiority of Moses to Moses. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. Now I'm reading from the Classic Amplified. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses was also faithful in the whole house of God. Yet Jesus has been considered worthy of much greater honor and glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has much more honor than the house itself. For, of course, every house is built and furnished by someone, but the builder of all things and furnisher of the entire equipment of all things is God. And Moses certainly was faithful in the administration of all God's house, but it was only as a ministering servant. In his entire ministry, he was but a testimony to the things which were to be spoken, the revelations to be given afterward in Christ. But Christ the Messiah was faithful over his own Father's house as a son and master of it. And it as we who are now members of this house, if we hold fast and firm to the end our joyful and exultant confidence and sense of triumph and our hope in Christ. Now, I don't usually like them. I like the message in some places and not in others. But I love how it does its first piece here. So, my dear Christian friends, companions in the following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe, faithful in everything God gave him to do. Moses was also faithful, but Jesus gets far more honor. A builder is more valuable than a building any day. Every house has a builder, but the builder behind them all is God. Moses did a good job in God's house, but it was all servant work, getting things ready for what was to come. Christ, as son, is in charge of the house. Now, if we can only keep a firm grip on this bold confidence, we're the house. Well, you need to understand that these believers, these Jewish Christians, as we get deeper into Hebrews, were struggling with all the persecutions. When they left Judaism, many Jewish families held funerals for them, declaring them dead, would even walk across the street so they would have to deal with them. Then, of course, you had when the Roman government flipped its script and said, now we want to persecute Christians. So now you're getting it from two places, people that you thought were your friends and your family, and then now the government, and quit began to look good. As Charlie Brown asked Lucy one time, where can I go just to give up? And in today's society, what I like about as you look at this scripture, in today's society, we are truly getting it from both ends. The government no longer has any value for Christianity or Christ, and many of our families have become so seeker-friendly or so open-minded that their brains have fallen out. There's no cognitive dissonance in what people are saying and what they are doing. When a political candidate can say that the reason we have inflation in our economies in the tank is because we've now outlawed abortion in some instances, is ludicrous. But yet people will defend her. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, the church needs to stand now more forever for truth. And let me tell you why. The rapture is nigh at the door. Now, you can say, Brother Eric, I don't believe in the rapture. That's fine. We'll catch up on the way up. But the idea that we need to be ready because we are living in the last times. The ship is heading to its final port. And it may be this year, next year, 20 years, 20 years. I may be dead in Christ, but it's coming. And as believers, we can't come to a place that we quit because the gospel of this kingdom must be preached into all the world. All the land must hear that the kingdom of God is at hand. So notice he says here, I need you to consider Christ. And here's what we know so far about Christ, chapters 1 and 2. First of all, that Christ is the ambassador of God to humanity. He came from heaven to earth. He was called now an apostle. That's what the word is used there. Basically, he's an ambassador. one who represents. Paul was an apostle and ambassador of God, of Christ, to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And so they had a very specific calling. Christ is our apostle, sent from God, had a very special call on his life to bring redemption to mankind. They always, these apostles, dealt with persecution. Some were stoned, some were beaten, some were cut in half. And we'll get into Hebrews 11. The world was not considered worthy of them. And when I get you to Hebrews 11, once we build this foundation, you're going to see Hebrews 11 in a completely different way. That's going to revolutionize and radicalize your faith. And all apostles were devout followers of the will of God. If you're an apostle of Christ, you've been called to a special mission, who is ambassador, that you're going to deal with persecution, and that you're going to have to be a devout follower. And people get all hung up on titles, but we don't have apostles today. Yeah, we do. We have apostles, we have prophets, we have teachers, we have evangelists, we have pastors. It's the fact that those jobs are now seen because of our Western mindset as something different. An apostle is one called to a special mission. All of us are called to something, so all of us in some way are apostles. And then Christ was not only the apostle, the ambassador of God to man, but he is the priest, which is, he offers us to God. He presents the sacrifice and offering to deal with our sin problem. He intercedes on our behalf, on the behalf of our leaders, on the behalf of you, me, when we have needs. And he's always in service. He's always making intercession for us because, well, we're human, and he knows what that feels. And Christ was faithful in all these roles. Look at some scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who is calling you to himself and utterly trustworthy. And he will do it also, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. He'll sanctify and keep you. He is faithful to what he's called you to do and to be. He's faithful. He's not going to call you to be a believer then go, okay, make it work. He's faithful not only to call you, but to complete the work in you he started. Hopefully you are different today from the inside out than you were yesterday. The idea being that so many people get saved, that's as far as they go, or they get into a little persecution and they're ready to throw in the towel. Paul has to remind the church, faithful is the one that called you. He's faithful. He's faithful. He doesn't fall apart. He doesn't lose his temper. He doesn't give up or give in. And he's called you. He's hallowed you and given you the power to fulfill that call. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Jesus says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth, to him whoever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood. What you need to understand, he was faithful to that call, and that's why we're free. That's why you can be healed. And Paul even dealt, he told Timothy, look at Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, we do not believe or are true to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and to his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. What's Paul saying? As we get into Hebrews deeper, you're going to see that faith has a little different connotation than what some of the word of faith and even some Pentecostal charismatics have been taught that it is. It's not doctrinally different. What it is, it's a much deeper, more powerful word in how we respond and react to the promises that God has made us, and we'll get into those things. So then he says, okay, here's Christ, who's faithful. He's a high priest and the apostle. Then he looks at Moses. We know from Scripture, from the Old Testament, that Moses was a friend of God, that Moses was a servant in the house of God. We know that Moses gave the types and the shadows of what we're seeing. So the writer here is comparing a servant versus a son. He said, first of all, Christ received more glory than Moses. And for these Jews, that would be kind of hard to grasp because Moses was the great lawgiver. Moses was the one that they would always say that Moses and the prophets. They saw Moses in a completely different way than what we see him. We think he looks like Charlton Heston from the movie The Ten Commandments. But they saw Moses as a deliverer. So the reason that the writer has to deal with the idea of Moses is, okay, although they can agree Jesus is superior revelation, Jesus is superior to the angels, but now we've got to say he's even superior to the great lawgiver, Moses. And he gives why. He says, first of all, Christ built the house. Moses served the house. Christ built everything. The great tabernacle in heaven, all of creation hinges on the power of Christ. We talked about this back in Hebrews chapter 1. And he's saying now forward, everything that is, including our worship, Christ created the opportunity for. But he's also being careful to say, and Moses was a servant in that. Yes, Moses got to see God face to face, not face to face, but he got to be in his divine presence. He received direct revelation from God. He took that direct revelation, came down the mountain, and presented it to the children of Israel. And they saw him as this great lawgiver. But then the writer says, as great as Moses is, as much glory as Moses had, as faithful as Moses was, Christ was more faithful because he built the house. And everything that Moses did, everything that we find in the Torah, everything that we find in those first five books should point you to the finished work of Christ. He is our Passover lamb. He leads us out of bondage. He leads us into the promised land. He fights for us in the promised land. But yet what we tend to do is we are so focused on everything else that we forget he is superior to everything. These believers, when they would see their Jewish friends and they would talk about the great lawgiver, Moses being the greatest of all of Israel, the greatest prophet in Israel, and here this group is saying, but no, Jesus is. The writer says, I need you to understand that, yes, Jesus is superior, and here is why. Because Moses pointed to Messiah, and Messiah says, I am. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses asked God, who shall I say sent me? They're going to ask me who you are. And the angel replied to him, the voice of God, I am that I am hath sent you. Now, if you read the story in Exodus, it's God and the angel of the Lord are both there at the same time. And we know from Scripture that the angel of the Lord is a theophany. It is a representative of Christ. So even then, the ancient Jews would have said that we know there's two powers that are co-equal as one. They had an idea of Trinity. They did not have a doctrinal, theological way to express it as of yet. Then Jesus would make everybody mad when he would say before Abraham was, I am. That Abraham rejoiced to see my day coming. And the Jews got very upset with him because they could not understand how Jesus, standing in front of them at 33 years old, could say before Abraham was, I am. And then he, being only 33 years old, not born in Abraham's time, could say he knew Abraham. Well, my friends, can I help you out? It's called quantum physics. And it says that he can be in two places at once because God exists outside of time. Jesus also exists outside of time. And before Abraham was, he was. At the very moment of creation, when the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. When God spoke, it was Jesus that he spoke. The Word, the Logos, the Son of the living God. So what the writer will come back to, and this is what we're going to end today, is we've got to hold on to this confidence, and that becomes what we boast about. Notice what he says. He goes, I need you to hold on to the confidence. The word confidence there means free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul writes to the young minister and says this, but as for you, continue to hold to the things that you have learned of, which you are convinced knowing from whom you learned them. He says, look, hold on to truth. Hold on to Paul says, what I've taught you, hang on to it. So many of us have never been taught anything. So many people sit in church and they are the same level that they were. I know in kindergarten they have leveled readers and they have letters, and my wife explained it to me one time and my brain has drawn a complete blank on how all that means, but it's based on grade levels. And some kids with the very word see the dog, see the cat, see the, and then eventually you progress to where you can read War and Peace as a high school college student. But that was because someone teaches you. You learn your history. You learn your science. You begin to learn, and all of that builds precept upon precept and learning upon learning until you come to the complete knowledge. But the thing is, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to many people who are going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if they go at all, they are still biblically in the same place that they were because they do not want to learn. And that's why he says, I've got to hold on to the confidence of what I know. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, do not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. Living for Jesus Christ, don't let the world wear you out. Do not let the devil talk you out of your promise, because when you come to the promised land, you're going to see giants. You're going to see walled cities. You're going to see the Rephaim, the Nephilim, the sons of the evil one, and they're going to try to convince you that you're a grasshopper. But you need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, we are well able to take that city, for the Lord fights for us. Don't let the world. And when they got to Jericho, and Joshua, the Rahab told them, when we heard what you did to the Egyptians, when we seen what God has done for you, our hearts melted within us and we locked up the city. So many of you have lost your confidence in what God is doing because you've lost your faith. But if you'll get back into the Word of God and make that the preeminent part of your life, I promise you, you'll begin to see victory as you begin to build up the foundation with that bulldog determination that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And He's promised me healing, He's promised me deliverance, and He's promised me a home in glory, and I'm hanging on to that no matter what happens in this world, because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It is time that you and I understand that is our confidence. We are more than conquerors through Christ. If God be for you, who can be against you? This is a part, if I was in a regular church service, I would say, can somebody say amen? He goes on to say, for in due time. That means God has a season for you. And at the appointed season, we shall reap. Now, he will use over in Hebrews chapter 11 the idea of a paymaster. By remaining in faith, God has a payment for you. He has a payday coming for you. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Quit. Give up. 1 Peter tells us to brace your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, the divine favor that is coming to you when Messiah is revealed. What's he saying? Look at what's going on around you. Be aware of the signs of the times. Be aware of the seasons. So that when he's revealed, not only to you, but to the world, you're on that side with him. You're not saying Jesus Christ is Lord simply as a statement of fact. Not only wants you to hold on to the confidence, boy, time flies, don't it? But he wants you to boast of the hope. That the boast, the word for boasting there means that which one glories or can glory or can glory. It's a matter or ground of glory. It's what is important. What we should be boasting. People say, Dr. Stansberry, we shouldn't be boasting. Oh my goodness, you're teaching us to boast. I just can't believe it. I'm not saying boast about your talent or your looks or your bank account. But notice what Peter says we boast about. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. What's he saying there? What I boast in is not who Eric is. It's who Jesus is. I don't boast in what I have. It's what he has. I don't boast in that I have anything. I am the same as you. I am dirt. I am carbon stitched together and given the breath of God, just like you. But the difference becomes, the difference is, when I lay this body down, I close my eyes and take my last breath, it's my first step there. That's hope. I don't have a home down here, a house. I mean, I live in a duplex, but I don't have a house that has my name on the title deed down here. But in glory, I have a home. With my name on the title deed, I have a clear title. There's no lien on that title because of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what he is doing and will continue to do in my life as I yield more and more and more and more and over to him. So that when the last trump sounds, Romans chapter 15, verse 14, and whatever was thus written, in the former days was written for our instruction. Now, Paul's talking again, he's reaching back into the Old Testament. That by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast and cherish hope. He goes, we know what Israel was promised and where they fell apart and blew it. So we draw from that, we learn, okay, what they did, don't do. God is working with me right now on a sermon in Numbers chapters 13 and verse 4 and chapters 14. And I've got the skeleton for it. I can't share it yet here. But when I do, I want you to make sure you call a friend, phone a friend, and we're going to take notes on that. But we can be taught how to either feed our faith or feed our fears. And which one we decide to feed will determine our walk with God. Colossians 1 and 23, and he will do this. And this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings of the gospel which you heard and has been preached as being designed to, for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister. What is he saying there? He is saying, look, Christ's going to do all this in your life. This is your hope. If you don't shift away. When we get to Hebrews 4, we're going to really develop that theme of shifting away. But can I tell you this morning, can I just share something with you? If you look at the morning news, if you look at what's going on in the world, it's easy. It is easy to lose hope. But if you will hang on to him, if he will become your desire, I promise you that what you will find is that he can bring you hope. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for this day, this your life that you've given all of us, the power that you've given us to take authority over the things of this world. And Father, if there's anyone sick today, I pray for divine healing. I reach out my hand and pray for divine healing, that where they are, they'll just reach out as a point of faith and contact and believe that you've got healing for them. If they need deliverance, that today they'll hear the delivering message to hang on to the hope and confidence of who you are and that you bring them through. And Father God, if there's one here, one tonight, today, whenever they're listening, that doesn't know you're the free pardon of sin, let today be the day they bow their knee before you and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I repent of my sins and become what you've destined them to be. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed today. I know I've ran about 3-4 minutes over time. But share this with somebody. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe. That will move us up the algorithm. If you're listening on your favorite podcasting service, please also like and subscribe and share. If you're watching it on Facebook, share. Let everybody know that Jesus Christ is coming with grace and great glory for his people. And this is Dr. Eric Sansbury thanking you for joining me today right here at Restoration Bible Fellowship, coming to you live from Decatur, Texas. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Sansbury saying, may grace and peace be multiplied to you and your family. And I want you to have a great week. And I'll see if I don't see you again on this side of eternity, as the Jerry Goff used to sing, I will see you in the rapture. Someday. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.
Tomorrow from in sunshine.